IWG. NAWB mobile.
Node 2586 connected to W8UM VHF. Good morning. The time is 7:15 a.m. Weather conditions, sunny, temperature 44 degrees.
Ypsilanti weather.
Good morning. The time is 7:45 a.m. Weather conditions, cloudy, temperature 36 degrees.
Colorado weather.
Good morning. The time is 8:15 a.m. Weather conditions, clear, temperature 46 degrees.
Ypsilanti weather.
Good morning. The time is 8:45 a.m. Weather conditions, cloudy, temperature 36 degrees.
Colorado weather.
Good morning. The time is 9:15 a.m. Weather conditions, sunny, temperature 47 degrees.
Ypsilanti weather.
NAWB mobile.
Ready in this mode.
Tom. Hi, Tom. Hey, it was weird. I was so deep in thought, it took me a few seconds to realize that you had just called. I wasn't even sure if you did.
You mean responded, or you mean from before?
Some short time ago, you put your call out there, didn't you?
Yeah, and then I responded when you just gave your call, but I think I might have been too fast with it, so maybe didn't go through all the delays.
Yeah, when you responded to me, all I heard was like, yep.
Yeah, I fixed that with the second one.
Yep, it was repaired. We can charge the customer.
It was like a tire patch.
so many things to do. I can't figure out what to do.
You get to stay home today?
So far. There's this project that they want done. It's hot, but it's two really, really big hot projects that are taking everyone's time. So I'm trying to figure out timing and what I can tell them. They know all this stuff, and they got us appeal late, but they still want the project done. So I'm trying to figure out how to squeeze it in.
Easy one or a bunch of unknowns?
It's a bunch of unknowns. Kind of. I have these like summary sheets. I wrote one, I write another one. I have this one with notes in it. I got this one that's like a high level summary, trying to keep it straight because it's kind of convoluted. Anyway. And then there's a lot of choices on how to get it done.
I'm doing like a big server migration right now. There's like 60 detailed steps, you know, that have to be coordinated, timed, sequenced with the customer and all that. You know. And I have to filter that down to, you know, I send them eight page long email on what we have to do in succession, how long I think each one's going to take, and you know how things are dependent on the other things. And, you know they don't read any of it.
Yeah, well, I try to go into too much detail, so then I try to make a bullet list of the high points, I guess, and then separate out the details later or down below or. Even I don't want to read my notes. Like I start a new, on this thing, I've started a new one a couple times because what I wrote, I don't want to get rid of, and maybe I make a backup of it and modify it. But you know, it's until things get more formed, it's just hard to document it. Too many options to write down or whatever, and keep straight.
Customer response, by the way.
What do you say about response? Too short of one.
Oh, sorry. Well, you said all that stuff. I just said, yeah. I said, that's a customer response, by the way.
Yep. So, and the shame is they're not even ready to use the system yet. It'll be another year before their stuff will be in place to actually use this in any practical manner. There's enough there to test it, so they want to build it, you know, they want everything developed and tested with the little bit they got, and then it'll fit while we're, you know, drowning in work. So, anyway. So, how much more of that server stuff do you have to do? 90% done now?
I'm doing preliminary stuff today, a bunch of action stuff tomorrow and all weekend, but a lot of it's sit and wait. I got to make like a major data migration from a cloud backup that I have to bring back to the new server. So that's like a 15-hour copy job on my 1-gig connection.
What do you use to copy? Well, I've been using RoboCopy because I want to keep the dates of the directories the same, which sometimes seems to work and sometimes doesn't.
What I'm using for the final copy stage where I put everything in its place where it goes. I didn't realize you were having problems with the dates not working, though. I thought that a couple switches I use work.
You mean with robocopy? It seems like sometimes it doesn't do it. I don't know why. Also, my robocopy command's getting pretty long because I have to exclude certain system files or else I get errors and some type of leaks I have to exclude. And anyway, I usually back up the whole user directory in Windows, but it's got a 95% of that stuff I don't need, but I'm worried about the stuff I do need that I don't know what it is. But I think I get a lot of the errors in there if I don't do the excludes.
Okay. And I was going to say, you could just skip over errors, but that probably makes the copy. Like, I don't know how fast it detects the error and bypasses it, so that might be another option if it's fast. Just to experience the errors, but, you know, it won't copy the files, but you'll be able to eliminate that switch or switches to see if that helps with the date thing.
Well, you think that would affect the date part? The directory dates? What I would like is a good graphical one where I can point and click and save recipes, I guess, of what to copy and not, and handle all that stuff and not do it with... I have a batch file, and I have a lot of notes in the batch file, and I guess that's useful that they kind of get... It just gets messy, because time will go by, and I don't remember exactly why I did what I did, or... Maybe I just need a better brain to sort all that out.
You play with shadow copy at all? That'll copy files that are in use or whatever. And there's a GUI for it. But I don't know that there's a way to make that preserve dates and stuff. And no, I don't think those switch options should affect the dates, but we should try, I'll send you at some point, send you what I use. I also don't get the whole, it works sometimes, it doesn't either. What's different?
Yeah, and that could be, maybe I had something wrong back then and I'm just remembering something from a while ago. There are times where I'll just go into file manager and copy and paste because I don't have time to, find the latest version of my batch file, and which is another version, another issue I have is keeping those the batch file current and finding it. But I'm trying to think of when the dates are wrong, if I can think anyway. I don't have a good answer for that.
Yeah. If you copy as file manager, that'll put the current date on every directory or folder, whichever word you like. You know, even some subdirectories will all end up with the current date.
Yeah, I found that to be true. Although I thought maybe some directories it worked. Like, it seemed like sometimes the directories are right. The file names, the files, the date seems to be preserved, I think, pretty sure. If they could just add that option to the Windows Explorer, I would use that often. Not always. It's nice to have a batch file where everything's already predetermined, all the files and how you want it copied, but as long as it's accurate, right, up to date.
Yeah.
I don't know why Explorer doesn't copy the dates. Years ago, maybe 10 years ago, I looked at it kind of deeply, I guess you'd say. Obviously it's because it created it, right? So that it's using the creation date. And maybe they want to make it hard to change that date just for... validity of the data.
you didn't create all the subdirectories, and it puts the current data on all of those, but it doesn't do it on the file, so I don't get why it does it on one part of the structure but not the other.
Yep. Their answer to that is, well, we'll just do it to all of them then.
Their real answer is they don't know what it does. That's probably what most Microsoft's viewpoint is. Once you get into the actual developers that did it years ago.
Should be making more, well, I guess most of the stuff's on one drive now, but by accident. But my laptop's still locking up kind of regularly, blue screening or black screening at that. So until I get that fixed, I need to probably make sure I have good backups.
LVV. So I think you haven't re-wiped and redone that one in quite a while.
I don't know, a few months ago, I did the partial one where, I don't know, it doesn't wipe it clean, it keeps the file, it keeps the programs on there, maybe it reinstalls all the operating system files.
Yeah, I have a machine that has a lot of stuff configured on it, and all of a sudden, Notepad doesn't work. And I haven't been able to figure out. I've tried a lot of things to fix it. It still doesn't work right. It stems from the new Notepad or whatever. It does all kinds of weird stuff, as you probably know. Anyway, I ended up putting Notepad++ on there. But I couldn't get it to open things by default, text files and Notepad++. So the attempt at quick fixing it, which didn't work either. So I have Notepad on it now, but you have to drag. The only way to open files is to open dialog or drag files into it. You can't just click on text files, and you can't set the default file type to that or anything.
Yeah, that's annoying. Usually I open stuff up, navigate to it.
Have you experienced or been annoyed by the updated Notepad?
Yeah, well, I turned off the remembering what you had opened before. And I heard recently that they're integrating the AI stuff into it. I almost never run it. I use TouchPad. Which is pretty long in the tooth, but it's what I've used at CDC since day one. I have plus installed, at least I used to. And that's what the younger guys use.
Plus recently had a supply chain hack, if you heard about that.
Yeah, that sounds familiar. It's a problem with all these, libraries, open source stuff, I guess, right? Anyone can look at it, but no one does.
Yeah, and then one of the VM, not sure what I'm doing here. I drove way too far. I missed my turn. I didn't notice I missed it till about 2 miles past it when everything started looking a lot different.
Well, 2 miles isn't all that bad. Shadow copy is included in Windows, huh? I haven't heard of it before.
it's included in Windows for sure. And then there's a, I forget what it's called, but there's a GUI and it's free that you can use it to copy things. Yeah. The in-use stuff will end up getting copied okay without any errors.
So it's got to be NTFS or REFS. I haven't heard of REFS.
I've heard of it. I never used it. It's definitely not very, it's there, but it's not mainstream or whatever. I don't know if it's buggy or what, and what its advantages and disadvantages are. I read about it a long time ago, but I forgot.
Good morning. The time is 9:45 a.m. Weather conditions. Cloudy. Temperature 37 degrees.
Colorado weather.
Resilient file system. Designed to maximize data availability, scalability, and integrity while providing resilience against data corruption.
The sales pitch. How's the user experience look? I think there's a lot of people that want ZFS to be brought to Windows. There's probably some attempts at that out there. Did you convert over yet?
Did I convert over? I mean, that was too short.
Yeah, if you converted over to REFS yet. I'm going on a really distant memory, but it might not be bootable. It might only be for, where you're storing a bunch of data, but not your boot OS.
Mentioned here about comparing it to what does it mean for Windows? How's it different?
What features does it have? And how much does it hit the CPU compared? For average use, I guess.
So NTFS relies on journaling to recover from unexpected shutdowns, but doesn't actively verify that contents have not been corrupted. REFS uses checksums on every block and can automatically repair corruption when it's detected.
In most cases, when you get corruption, you have bigger problems that aren't fixable, I guess, by that, right?
Well, if it can fix all the corruption, I guess you're right. If it only fixes some of it, then it may not be so good. It holds, you can go up to 35 petabytes instead of just the mere 256 terabytes. Including of individual files can be up to 35 petabytes. So you only fit one file on the disk, I guess.
Oh, does it support disks? I thought it would just put them in the air.
They got the disk. Includes block cloning, which turns expensive file copy operations into fast metadata operations. Copying a 50 gigabyte virtual machine file that would take minutes in NTFS can complete in seconds in REFS. Because the system creates a reference rather than duplicating the data. Well, that's not copying it, that's cheating.
So it sounds like you need a whole lot of RAM.
It does not support file system compression per file encryption through EFS, short, 8.3 file names, disk quotas, removable media, or transactional NTFS, which I don't know what that is. So it's not a drop-in replacement for NTFS in every scenario. Windows still cannot boot from REFS.
I remember that from a long time ago, just when I was looking into it or trying to find out more about it. Looks like it's for big data server, data center server type stuff though. Do you gather that, or is it, does it apply to small stuff?
Well, I'd like to resiliency and data integrity stuff. So I can see using it on your desktop if you want your data a little bit safer.
I understand the reference thing, you know, to make what size did it say would take seconds instead of minutes or something?
50 gigabyte. But it's not copying, it's creating a reference. So what happens when you change the original or the copy? Does it then keep a different file between the two, or?
I mean, what happens the first time you copy the 50 gigabyte file too? I mean, it has to create the deduplicated, whatever the heck it's talking about. You usually need a lot of RAM for that.
Well, I think they're talking about on the same volume. You can make a copy of it. All it does is put it like a reference to the original copy that's already on there. And renaming, you know, the reference has its own name, I guess.
Yeah, so some of the newer systems do that. They call it deduplication. Are you familiar with that? Anyway, it does it at the block level. So it looks for repeating patterns of, you know, blocks or whatever, and makes a table of, you know, common ones like your JPEG headers and different things that are that occur over and over again. I'm here. I got to go in, so I'm going to jump off the radio. LBT and LBT.
Go ahead.
Yeah, that was quicker than I expected. I just had to pick up a piece of equipment west Ann Arbor, and now I'm headed out to Dundee.
Are you at Dundee, huh?
Big customer out there, and that's where this big migration is happening.
Nice. Let me need to run. I got a meeting at 12:30 I got to prepare for.
I can let you go now if you want to get preparing. I got about a half an hour drive here.
I just brought up the web server for the All-Star link, whatever you call it. I haven't updated that software in a long time. It's checking for updates. Oh, wow. Just a lot of updates, I think.
I wanted to ask you for something. I'm going to send you a public key. I don't know how familiar with Mistastic here, but if you go into the security settings for that LBT1 node, you can paste that key, and there's like three admin slots. You can paste that in there. That'll allow me to remote admin that node and make you know, play around with adjustments and stuff in there a little bit, if you want me to play with that.
Maybe I'm a smoke. I went on to the All-Star node.
That made me think of the request. So I'll just send you the, I'll actually send you the public key over the secure channel on that. And then at your leisure, you can paste it into the security tab where it goes. If you want to see it in action yourself, I can do the same for you if you want to remotely admin one of mine and see how that all works, get familiar with it. Because you can remote in here, and you can remote admin your nodes from your other nodes if they're set up for it pretty easily.
Okay.
I guess next time we're in person, we'll try updating the firmware on that one, see if it makes any difference, if we're still having the internet MQTT problem.
Yeah, I mean, to take it apart and just put a cap in there, see if it makes a difference, but...
Kind of weird. It appears to be, you know, fully online from the non-internet part of the LoRa. Like, you know, if you have your 3 on, it seems to always be, or most of the time is there.
Yeah, I don't know if it's like a Wi-Fi dropping it type of thing, or if it's MQTT dropping out or what.
It's hard to tell if they don't give you a vantage point from the node that has IP testing ping, you know, any kind of real testing ability, other than you could do a packet capture upstream at your router, and you can see if it's, you know, talking to the network or not or what. But that's outside of the node, of course. But within the node, there's no test tools to see if the Wi-Fi is up, connected, working, sending packets, all that.
Okay. Well, I'll let you go so I can get ready for the meeting.
Okay. I'll give you a shout on the way back if you're available. You can answer. NEWT. NEWT.
NEWT.
Node 2586 disconnected. Node 2586 connected to W8UM VHF.
Hey, LBV mobile.
Six weeks.
Okay. So you get You still got to do all the planning, or have you gotten through some of it?
Well, I finally put together a schedule of key dates of events, so I have a starting point.
Yeah, repeater's still pretty noisy where I'm at, so I got part of that. Does the time off work? No problem.
Well, I got vacation time. There's a lot to do, so that's a bit of a problem, but and everybody's really busy, so there's not someone that can usually fill in for me if there's something going on in my plant. But yeah, they'll take a vacation when you need to, right?
I was curious how much advance notice they wanted and all that. Or did you already give them advance notice that it was roughly going to be around a certain time or something?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, a lot of this stuff they asked for it before the beginning of the year because they knew all this stuff was coming, these other plants. But I'll be all right.
Okay, I'm going downhill here, so I'll be back in a couple minutes. It's probably going to be hard to hear this down here.
Okay, I'll be there.
Yeah, it'll be. I'm up in the low spot. Gradually get closer to the repeater.
All right, I just requested the date and time off. One less stress.
It's compounding stress to do two things, right? Fairly close.
Yeah. I've had plenty of time for both. It's just all on me, I guess. I think the trip to California is how long, which days. Because I was pushing for like a 2-week thing. They were talking about going to Disney and stuff, and I thought it was, they weren't, but now they're talking about it again. You know, I don't know if I can afford Disney. Pricey.
Yeah. Yeah, 2 weeks seems like a lot for that event.
I think it's more of a making it into an event or a bigger event, you know.
Yep, I need LBB mobile. Another hole now.
You need to fill them in.
I'm up from that one. Still getting closer. Still noisy though.
I'll have to look up Dundee one day and figure out how far that is.
It's like 21 or 22 miles from my place.
Do you have a second antenna you can put up so you can keep both systems running? The repeater and the All-Star, I guess, repeater.
Not home yet. And they're too close to the frequency to run together. Well, let me think about that. It'd be tricky. You need like another can filter or something on the other. Anyway. It'd be tricky. They're close in frequency, same band and all that.
It'd be cool to put a couple notch filters in each line so you could match out the TX on the other receive.
That's probably doable. It'd probably work okay, but you'd have, anyway. Keep forgetting that's on 3.5. Still close, though. It would take some doing. Every time you do that stuff, you lose a little bit of, you know, receive sensitivity and stuff. It's already challenged being on a small home antenna type thing.
Well, the DMR one would go down, but the other one would go up, I think. You should just do a combiner, use the same antenna.
You could. You could probably make a combiner out of a few of the duplexers and a circulator. This might not be sharp enough, though, to be... Anyway, might be easier to put another antenna up. Be better to have another antenna up. More options.
From like an 80-foot tower.
Yeah, do a tethered drone.
So I use a drone detector, and it's not picking up the drones I'm seeing in the air. Some of them might be tethered, but other ones I'm pretty certain aren't based on their movement.
Who's operating the drones?
I don't know. I don't know if it's the city of Dearborn or if it's Ford or someone else. Dearborn seems to be pretty big into the drone stuff last 6 months or a few months.
Closest you've been to one?
I don't know, a few hundred feet, a couple hundred feet.
Yeah, can you see the operators on the ground, like, running them?
No, I assume they're remote. Or I don't know, are they autonomous, maybe? But I assume that they're not on the ground right there operating them. They're there too often.
Yeah, well, the regulations say you gotta be inside of it. Doesn't mean they're up on a, not up on a roof or something doing it where you can't see them.
Is there exceptions for IDing themselves for if they're there for law enforcement or security purposes or anything?
Exceptions for what?
Whatever ID requirements there are nowadays, the transmitting their ID.
Yeah, the only exceptions for not transmitting their ID are below 249 grams and flying for recreational and not in controlled airspace, which I think 30-mile radius around metro is controlled airspace.
30 miles? That's ridiculous.
Well, every single bit of it is all ridiculous, including that. Yeah, but it goes a lot further than that. Still, you can fly a little toy one in your backyard, you know, 10 feet off the ground. enforcement is a different story, but it's illegal. You could get in trouble for it in rare circumstances. I mean, like a kid's toy one.
Well, that phone app, I don't know. I've never seen it work, so I don't know if it does work or if it's missing a permission or something to work correctly here. Isn't there both a Bluetooth and a Wi-Fi version of that identification?
Yeah, correct. And your phone should be doing both when it's running the app.
Yeah. So when I got in my car, there was one kind of overhead. So I turned the app on right away on a dash, but when I turned around, it was gone. But when I was driving through the facility to leave, I saw it again, and I don't know how far it was, but I could easily see it, and it was probably a few hundred feet, 500 feet from me. Because it was a couple hundred to 300, 1 to 200 feet off, I guess. I don't know. And it didn't pick it up.
I've got a module. I can fly it, and you can test your phone app with it sometime soon if you want.
Yeah, I'd like to see it. And it'll be good. Have any like 7 or 10 inch HDMI monitors?
I have just one. I was planning on using it in the car. Stand by one sec.
Node 258.
AWD.
Disconnected.
Kilo Echo 2 Bravo Foxtrot Oscar. Hello, Echo 2, Bravo, Foxtrot, Oscar, listening.
Testing. 98HK.